Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. Please join us for the Max and Yeti Mandra Aleihem HaShalom Elite Virtual Summer Beit Midrash program for 2 weeks of learning starting July 26th with celebrated educators Rebbetzin Peshi Neuberger, Rabbanit Shani Tarragon, Michal Horowitz, Sarah Lippman, Leah Feinberg, Rivka Marin, and Avigail Myers. Class topics include Tanakh, Halacha, Tikkun Hamidot, and Jewish history. Register at ou.org/women/elite2022. That's ou.org/women/ALIT2022. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Bet 32. Perek Lamed Bet starts off with a continuation from last Perek. Hein letzedek imloch melech, ulesarim lemishpat yasoru. For righteousness shall a king reign, and over princes who rule with justice. We're going to focus now on the king that will rule with tzedek and mishpat. Chizkiyahu will deserve to rule based on these traits, the opposite of how his father Ahaz chose to rule. And because of this, he will merit the great miracle that will happen during his tenure. Pasuk Bet tells us that through his merit, he will be a place of shelter and protection. He will rejuvenate the people like water in a desert. Kepalge Mayim Bitzayon. Tzayon is a desert from the word Tzia, Tzadi Yud Hei, but is also a play on the word Tzion, where we know he will rule. Like a big rock where you can find shade under it in a desert, he's going to protect those who are weak and tired. Ahaz's time period can be metaphorically compared to a desert, while Chizkiyahu and his time is now compared to the relief found from finding water in the desert and finding a rock to sit on when weary. And people will start seeing the truth and get used to seeing the correct way. They're going to look straight ahead and not look to the sides. Eyes will no longer be blocked. The same Lashon as is used as when we know in Perek Vav, it talked about how they blocked their eyes and how they clogged their ears. But now eyes and ears will be open to hear and to see Nevuot and the Navi. No longer will their hearts be fat. They won't have that layer of fat around their hearts. Pasuk Dalet says, Ulevav nimharim yavin ladat. The heart of the hasty shall understand to know. Everyone is going to have the ability now to understand, even people who were beforehand in a hurry or were hasty and didn't take the time to think before acting. The hearts now are going to be receptive, and Hashem is going to strengthen their ability to understand. The rest of the pasuk says, "Ulashon ilgim lemaher ledaber tzachot." People who did not speak clearly will now be understood. Those who are wicked will not be looked up to anymore, and people will not need to speak to them as well. Lo yikare od lenaval nadiv. Some of the changes that are now going to take place between what was and now what the new reality is going to be in a good way is that a naval, someone who is not a good person, will not be a ruler, a nadiv, anymore. Some of the descriptions of what makes a person a naval, in the pasuk, it talks about how a naval prevents a poor person from getting food and prevents someone who needs water, someone who's thirsty, from drinking water. And so instead of the naval having strength, the person who promotes righteous judgments will be the one who is strengthened. People are no longer going to fear the wicked people and feel like they need to flatter them to get ahead in this world. Leharik nefesh ra'ev. This is the description that I just mentioned about how the naval empties the soul of the hungry and takes away drink from those that are thirsty. He takes advantage of those who are most vulnerable. The Targum takes this pasuk and understands the behavior being described here to be about robbing people of their connection to the Torah and nullifying Divrei Hashem, since Torah is often compared to water. So the Targum is looking at it on a deeper level than just the basic understanding of how this Melech who will do tzedek and how he will inspire the people in his generation also to do tzedek. In Psukim Tet Thru Yadalad, after describing the good promise for the future, the Navi here returns to describing the present-day reality and the exile that's looming ahead with the rise of the army of Ashur. It talks about women lamenting over the Khorban, and he turns to these women, these Nashim Shananot, the ones who are sitting in peace and feeling secure about the future. And he tells them that they're going to be lamenting. He tells them, listen to my words, Banot Botchot. You women right now who are not concerned about anything that's about to happen, you're not scared about Sancheirav reaching you. You're going to understand that actually you may want to rethink your feeling of security. Some understand when it says Nashim, women, it's actually not talking about females, but it's talking about the cities that dwelled confidently. And very often we talk about cities being the parent city and then the cities that surround it being the children of it, and talking about the cities that thought that the cities that were in Shevet Yehuda that thought that they were untouchable and were dwelling confidently and didn't think they would be conquered by Ashur. So that, again, Yeshayahu is turning to the cities and saying, your reality is flawed. You have a false sense of security. In Pasuk Yud, Yamim al Shana, we're told your sinful days are adding up and are now bringing punishment your way. Or it could be saying, when it says Yamim al Shana, that the troubles that are coming are not going to be for a short period of time, but are going to bring with them an exile that's going to last for many years. Now you're feeling secure, but in a short period of time, not very long, you're going to be troubled. There will be fear. Ki kala batzir, osef bli yavo. Produce is going to be destroyed in your fields. It's not going to be collected and gathered into your homes. The tzara is coming. Just like it started in the northern kingdom, it's coming for you too, people of Yehuda. And so chirdu shananot, rigzabotchot, you people should actually be afraid. You should be trembling. And pshata ve'ora v'chagora al chalatzayim. Your dignified clothing is going to be pashat. It's going to be removed. And you're going to wear sackcloth as you're led to galut. Or the Malbim says, you can see already how the people of Ephraim, the northern kingdom, have had their clothing removed by the enemy. And you can now learn from that and try to make it so that you don't follow in the same fate and receive the same fate that they did. In Pasuk Yud Bet, Al Shadayim Tofchim, the women are beating on their fists on their chests in mourning. They're eulogizing the fields. Stei Chemed, the fields that used to be so bountiful and so plenty, and the vineyards that are now being destroyed. Kotz Shamir Ta'aleh, now thorns and thistles are in what used to be once productive fields. Houses used to be for parties. Batei Masos, full of happiness. The Kiryat Aliza, the city full of happiness, Yerushalayim, unfortunately is now going to be transformed. Cities and places of habitation are going to be deserted. In Pasuk Yodalit, it talks about the deserted Armon, the palace, and this could be a reference to the Beis HaMikdash that will end up in Me'arot, in ruins, and will be Misos Preim, it will be Mir'eh Adarim. It's going to be a place for wild donkeys and a pasture for flocks to graze on. We know that Yishmael is referred to as a Pera Adam in Bereshit Perek Tet Zion. And some commentators just translate that to mean Pera means a wild donkey. The description of animals here inhabiting and grazing in Pasuk Yodalad could be referring to foreign nations that will take over Yerushalayim, such as Yishmael and others, and conquer it from us. In Psukim Tetvav Thruchaf, we transition back to words of Nechama, consolation about the land being fruitful and blessed once again. Even though in Pasuk Yodalit it said the city would be deserted, Ad Olam, which could mean forever, many understand this not to really mean forever, but really Ad Olam is just an exaggeration for a long amount of time. These words of consolation could be describing the time of Mashiach, or it could be talking about the destruction in the northern kingdom, in the capital Shomron, and then what happened between Ashur and the cities of Yehuda that were conquered too. And the consolation in the second scenario is that the miracle with Sancheirav in Yerushalayim itself is going to happen and is going to be their salvation. The Abarbanel thinks it makes sense that what we're describing here is talking about Shevet Yehuda not going unscathed, and that they're going to go into Galut through Nebuchadnezzar, and that's what's being mentioned. So again, it could be more about the more immediate time, or these words of consolation could be about the future leading up to Acharit HaYamim. The land won't be desolate forever. A ruach will come from Hashem above, and Ye'areh, he will pour life into what was desolate. In other places, it uses the shoresh of shofech. Hashem says, eshpoch ruchi, I will pour out my spirit, to communicate the same idea of what it's going to be like in the future when things are good again, and the abundance of blessing that will be given to us by Hashem. The Targum reads the letters making up the word ruach with different nekudot as revach. Revach, there will be relief from the hardships that came before it at this time. All of the land is going to get an upgrade. Like we saw in Perek Chavtet about the desert becoming the Carmel, and the Carmel will become an even bigger and greater forest. So we see these upgrades taking place. Everything is going to be blessed. And the people in these places will do tzedakah and mishpat. And we're told in Pasuk Yud Zayin how these actions of theirs and doing tzedakah and mishpat will directly impact and provide peace and stability. So there's a direct correlation between the actions that will be done and the results, and how they will live, the quality of their life will be so much greater when they live a life that is more meaningful and more righteous. We have seen so many different words and descriptions of the fact that there will be peace to show how overwhelming it will be. So the Psukim talk about a bunch of these. For example, they're going to dwell in Neve Shalom. They're going to be in a place of peace. And the word Neve is interesting because it often is used in the context of a place for grazing. So it indicates a place where there'll be no wild animals roaming around, a place of peace. The security the people will feel will come as a contrast to the security they felt in the beginning of the Perek that was unfounded. Here, the security they feel will be real. Pasuk Yud Tet refers to the enemy army, which is also called a Ya'ar, talks about just like a forest has lots of trees, the army of lots of people of the enemy is going to get rained on by Hashem with hail, and their cities are going to be lowered and brought down. It's interesting that the forest trees are being used in this parak as a metaphor for the enemy army, and were used also a few psukim ago to talk about the bracha that will be brought to the land itself for the Jewish people. The enemies that enjoy the status of a forest now, maybe we're being told, are the ones who will be brought down, and then the status of a forest will then transfer to us, and we'll be the ones who will be achieving success. The good in the future is described in this last pasuk as being without any water worries. Ashreichem zorei al kol mayim. Everyone will be able to plant and have water accessible to them. And Mishalchei Regel Hashor V'Hachamor, they will send their oxen and donkeys to graze wherever. There will be an abundance of vegetation, and everyone will have more than they need. So there'll be no concerns of any animals grazing and taking away from someone else's field. This is interpreted by the Malbim to be an accurate description of what actually took place in the time of Chizkiyahu. And some of the Nevuot during his time discuss this reality. They will literally reap the rewards of their tzidkut, of their righteousness. This last pasuk is talked about in a few different midrashic sources to give us some nice and beautiful ideas about what lies ahead for the Jewish people in the future. The Ein Yaakov says that this pasuk is talking about that for anyone who is osek, who is involved in Torah and gemilut chasadim, they will be zocha lenachalat shnei shvatim. They will be zocha to the nachalat, to the inheritance of two of the shvatim, which are referenced by the shor and the chamor. The shor is often used as a reference to Yosef, going back to Yaakov's bracha. And the shor, in this case, we often talk about an ox goring its enemies, bringing them down, the strength of the ox. So the first bracha being told here is that we will be able to defeat our enemies. The donkey, going back also to the brachot of Yaakov, represents Shevet Yisachar. And Shevet Yisachar, we're told, are Yodei Bina. They were known as being tremendous Torah scholars. So the Torah knowledge will also be carried down to this generation as the Nachala from Shevet Yisachar. So that's one idea of what the Shor and Chamor can represent. Devarim Rabbah brings in an idea of going back to the word l'shaleach, to send off the ox and the donkey in our pasuk, is going back to the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, shaleach tishalach et ha'im. There's double language to send away the mother bird, a mitzvah we are familiar with in Parshat Ki Tetze. And Dvarim Rabba says, im kiyamta mitzvah zu, if you keep that mitzvah, at mimaher lavo melech hamashiach, you will be playing an active part in hurrying and bringing more speedily melech hamashiach. Why? Why is this connection made? Shekatuv bo shiluach, because the shoresh, the word shiluach, sending away, comes up also in reference to mashiach. Minayin, from where? And sheneemar, our pasuk is quoted, Yeshayahu lamid bet chaf, pasuk chaf of our perek, mishalchei regel hashor v'hachamor. So the sending of the feet of the shor and chamor is bringing back and is an allusion to the sending of the mother bird, which again is an allusion to us, is connecting that mitzvah to bringing Mashiach. The Midrash Tanchuma talks about the Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David referenced in our pasuk, and we'll end with that. Mashiach ben Yosef, as we mentioned before, because of the shor, and the chamor, as I mentioned in a previous parak, that Mashiach is referred to as someone, the ani, the humble person who rides on a donkey. So the chamor and the shor could maybe be referring to the process of the coming of Mashiach and messianic times that will be ahead for us. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilui Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.